Braj Bihari Prabhuji for taking us spiritually to Vrindavan, and we were transported right up to Prabhupada's own quarters. We have now this Prabhupada Disappearance Day schedule, which I have to great pleasure and privilege in inviting Her Grace Malati Mataji to kindly make your offering. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. First of all, I'd like to offer my thanks to all of you who have come here tonight to honor the disappearance celebration of His Divine Grace. And may you always remember Him in your heart of hearts. And I would like to thank the devotees who so artfully and lovingly decorated Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa sign with gorgeous flowers, and many instructions to us regarding deity worship and festivals. He emphasized using his words, gorgeous flowers, and he would urge that there should be sufficient flowers. So this is a very nice offering, so I want to thank those who worked so nicely. Dearest Srila Prabhupada, our most holy Lord and Master, please accept my humbly offered obeisances at your lotus feet. All glories to you, Srila Prabhupada. All glories to you. O beloved Master, you showered more mercy and compassion upon us, the misguided entities, than we ourselves could ever fathom. In a recently discovered unpublished letter to Hayagriva Prabhu dated March 22, 1972, you wrote, "I am now translating nightly, and each day Shyam Sundar types the tapes and Prajumna is editing Sanskrit, so that we shall be sending more and more material, because you say that you can edit any amount we can supply. So I take that as a challenge, and I shall try to see if you can keep up with me." So isn't this wonderful? Srila Prabhupada has entered the arena and challenged his own disciples to match him. Yes, he goes on. Yes, you are correct to say that it is all nectar. Everything having relationship with Krishna, our Lord Chaitanya, is nectarian, and our literatures in our line of Vaishnavacharyas is so nice that there is no comparison anywhere in the world for it. So I want my disciples like you and others to take this task very seriously, to give the world the access to this great treasure of Vaishnav literatures by producing innumerable books and small booklets, and that the force of literary influence will change everything and save the people from their miserable conditioned and corrupt status of life. This is another amazing proclamation, that by the force of literary influence, meaning his books, everything will change and people will be saved from their corrupt conditions and miserable conditions and corrupt status of life. So beyond any doubt, we have been given the real weapons to effect change. And it's very wonderful to see the big stacks of books out in the courtyard, knowing that very soon these stacks will disappear, and the books will be in the hands of conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada, you said in a Chaitanya Charitamrita purport that the attitude of the karmis is always one of giving up the conclusion of the pure Vaishnava understanding. Because the karmis are very much attached to the world and the material activities, they always try to establish atheistic principles that oppose the understanding of the Vaishnavas. Your own Srila Prabhupada commented in his 64 Principles of Community that it is the duty of the authentic Vaishnava to disregard such distractions while carrying on Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. That in doing so, in carrying on the Sankirtan movement, we will undoubtedly disturb the influence of Maya, and this is necessary for success. So this isn't a statement for someone who has a weak heart or is shy. This is a very strong example and a real example of compassionate communication. You, Srila Prabhupada, conveyed the absolute truth in a non-compromising manner and handed it to us with great trust and hope that we would continue the parampara lineage and deliver the unadulterated message of love of God to all unfortunate souls. You taught us Vedic principles established by Dharma to keep us on the path of transcendence. As such, we are duty-bound to act with spiritual integrity on your behalf. You reminded us that there is no other process as effective in this age as chanting Hare Krishna. Yet we see how Maya is so bewildering that she can distract the mind of even a sincere practitioner towards insignificant, useless directions, testing our strength and determination to remain committed to our faith, our vows, our loyalty, and practices. We observe compromises dressed in attractive roles, pretending to be bhakti, yet intent on its very destruction. You would often comment, "These things are going on." To one young aspiring disciple, you wrote, "To succeed, you must have enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Each of one of these three things must be there. If anyone is missing, you will find the process difficult." May we always remain prayerful in our endeavors to keep your ISKCON in the forefront of the Sankirtan movement, in living memory to the world at large in this Kali Yuga, of your great contribution of love, compassion, and mercy. Lord Krishna blessed us and benedicted us by your presence, which is without contamination. I pray for your continued guidance and presence to remain enthusiastic, determined, and patiently fixed in your service life after life. May we always remain blessed to celebrate your appearance on this planet with the ability to help you push on this movement. Always desiring to remain situated at your lotus feet, your fallen servant, Malati Dasi. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada.
Mati Mataji, it's a beautiful offering you've made, great realization, and we sincerely thank you for coming all the way here. I know you have got a very busy schedule and you are about to catch you have to leave in a few minutes.
So I apologize that I will be walking out soon, so my misfortune.
No, that's okay. We appreciate so much your coming. It's more than we deserve. We have next a wonderful personality, His Grace Chandrasekharji, who is also with us here. And I request you to kindly make your offering to Srila Prabhupada. Yes, you can, please.
You can take this. Thank you. Srinathji. So, when my time's up, just like the a minute.
No,
okay. It was October 1977, and Srila Prabhupada was very sick. He'd been sick for some time. But he began to chuckle. He was in bed. He began to chuckle
All the devotees are puzzled. What's this? Srila Prabhupada just chuckled a little more. And then he said, Garud manush chichingakoi hoktigila gaudajai. He said, you understand? Garud manush chichingakoi hoktigila gaudajai. Srila Prabhupada said, the man is so poor, he eats grasshoppers. But when he has to go to the field for the call of nature, he rides on a big white horse. He says, the same way, I'm a sannyasi, I'm an ascetic, renunciate, but my boys are carrying me on a palanquin for darshan. Garib manush tu chingakoi. The man is so poor, he's eating grasshoppers. So sadhan koro, bhajan koro, murte jan lehoi. That your sadhan and bhajan will be tested at the time of death. So what better way to honor Srila Prabhupada on this glorious day, in this wonderful place that's like Bhusvarga. It's just like heaven on earth here, this mandir. What wonderful way to better honor Srila Prabhupada than to enhance your sadhana and enhance your chanting and be a part of this book distribution campaign. So you think about it. You think about how you can enhance your chanting, how you can increase your chanting, and how you can help these wonderful devotees here get books out into the community. It's a big enough community. Does everybody have a book in Mumbai? And so until everybody has a book, we should be focused. Prabhupada was walking with his disciples in Calcutta, and he was before Victoria Arch. Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, I used to climb the scaffolding on this arch. It's very high. The devotee said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you're very brave. Srila Prabhupada said, I had to be brave. I came to your country alone at the age of 70. So there are some stories I was telling in the Brahmachari class. I might be redundant, but you have to put up with that. There was a great fight going on in London recently. In the past years for the establishment of worship at Bhaktivedanta Manor. At one point, the queen was concerned. Who are these Hare Krishnas? 36,000 people come out to protest for their right to worship at the manor. So she told her queen's council, very educated, refined gentleman, you read his books. You read each of his books. Tell me what he says. So the queen's council read the books, read Lilamrita, read Bhagavatam, and then he had a meeting with the devotees at one point. And he looked at the devotees, and he said, do you know what your spiritual master did? Well, yes, we're well aware. Do you know what your spiritual master did? No, you don't, because he did it when he was 70. So you can't imagine what it's like to do what Prabhupada did, to come to the West alone with a bag of granola, a change of dhoti, a trunk of books, 40 rupees he never spent, but a mission within his heart at the age of 70. No funds, no friends in the West. When he walked down the gangplank from the Jaladutta, he didn't know whether to walk right or to walk left. Prabhupada said, I had to be brave. And one time, Srila Prabhupada was pulling into Vrindavan, and he was getting an update from his senior men. How's the construction? Who's doing what? What's happening? And they got down to one of the boys, and Srila Prabhupada was told, oh, he's smoking ganja down by the Jamuna with the Shaivites. Srila Prabhupada said, tell him, if he doesn't stop this, I reject him. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, would you really reject him?
No.
Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, but Srila Prabhupada, there must be some line that you draw. And then his connection's finished. And Srila Prabhupada didn't answer right away, but then he said, Lord Nityananda's mercy is unlimited. So we're fortunate to be in this place, come together and honor that representative of Sri Nityananda Ram and his glorious disappearance day. I work in the prison ministry, and in the 70s, somebody got a book into a prison here in India, and this one fellow got a hold of it, and he became a devotee. And as soon as he got out, he went and gathered up his burglar tools in a bag, and he moved into the temple. Haribo. So he became Haridas. Now he's making films. So at one point, Haridas, his duty was to make life members at the time. And he came home one evening. He was very fatigued. It was hot. There's no prasadam. Nobody saved him prasadam, as usual. It was late at night. He came in front of Prabhupada. He had a unique rapport with Prabhupada. He threw his bead bag on Prabhupada's desk and said, "I quit." Prabhupada chuckled. He said, "No, no." And so he pacified him. And now he's become very, very strong. Very strong devotee, doing a lot of service in the movement. There's one story about Govinda's husband. This is a well-known story, but everybody knows this. But in Hawaii, Gorsundar is very... had done so much for Prabhupada, he and his wife. But he had some difficulty, and he did a lot of bad things. And he sold a temple and kept the money. Srila Prabhupada was getting report, this bad thing. Prabhupada said, "He is a rascal. But I like that rascal." Lord Nityananda's mercy is unlimited. There were, Prabhupada was on the plane, and there were some rugby players in Australia. They were rowdy, they were making lots of noise, and they were smoking on an airplane back then. So the servants were getting irritated and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I'm going to go tell them to stop." Srila Prabhupada said, "If we cannot tolerate them, how are we any different from them?" So Prabhupada taught us by his own example to be forbearing. One time his disciple told him, in a discussion, Srila Prabhupada, about Krishna consciousness with my mother, I used my trump card and I said, "Well, but we all have to leave this world. We have to die." In the course of the conversation, she said, "I'm not afraid of death." Prabhupada said, They may say they're not afraid. But when there's turbulence in the airplane, oh, everybody's screaming, except Prabhupada. Remember that? There was so much turbulence, people were screaming, and Prabhupada acted like nothing was happening. Prabhupada was so cool-headed, so forbearing. One lady disciple was making some complaints to Srila Prabhupada at one point, and Srila Prabhupada was listening, and then he said, "I ask you to tolerate them as I tolerate you." Another individual asked Srila Prabhupada for some counsel. Prabhupada said, "Please, in this case, use your common sense. If you have none, consult with someone who does." I was in Chicago. It was my home temple in 1974, and Prabhupada was leaving. And so I wanted to position myself so I'd be right next to my Guru Maharaj, because I'm a rank and file devotee. I had no special position. I never got to go on a morning walk or anything like that. So this is a great opportunity. So Srila Prabhupada's leaving, and the scene was just like this here today. There, it was just packed with devotees, just like this. Everybody's looking right at Prabhupada. So I'm on the ledge next to the door. Prabhupada walks out. And he walks out, and there's an ocean of ecstatic devotees in front of Srila Prabhupada. Some are crying. Some are laughing. Some are falling on their the ground. Some don't have any room to move. They're standing up. They're jumping, and this is the scene. So Prabhupada comes out with a big smile on his face to see the love of his followers. And he, Brahmananda was on the other side. He scanned the scene. He looked. It seemed like he looked into the eyes of each and every person in front of him. And they were packed. They were on the sidewalks. They were in the streets. They were on the other side of the street. I was right next to Prabhupada looking at his beautiful face. And he's smiling, and the ladies start to drop flowers. First, they start to drop flowers right on Prabhupada. Oh, that's very nice. And Brahmananda says, Srila Prabhupada, the demigods are showering flowers on you. And then Srila Prabhupada, he became very grave at that point. And the kirtan was going on very strong. And Prabhupada again surveyed the crowd, looking into the eyes of, seemed like, each and every devotee. And he said, yes, they're all demigods. Mula Prakriti, I don't know. I should stop at what time?
Another 5-7 minutes.
Okay. Mula Prakriti, you might know this, but she was a wonderful book distributor, among other things, but she also liked to clean Prabhupada's room when he would leave for a few moments for his morning walks and or leave the temple. So sometimes the ladies would gather little items that Srila Prabhupada would leave behind. And in this case, Gopa Vrindapal says, her husband says, it was a little notebook. Just a small tablet, and they looked at it. Oh, there's nothing there. We were hoping for something. So they had put it away for some years, and then they broke it out again at some point, some festival, and for some reason went through it again. And there in the very back, there were the words written, defeat godlessness in this world. So that was Prabhupada's mood. In this age of Kali, when it's, the atmosphere is surcharged with opposition to spiritual development, Prabhupada's mission was to defeat godlessness. Prabhupada said, I'm the only son of my Guru Maharaj. He said, the son takes over the business of the father. He said, all others are daughters, protected in the house. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, she said, for some reason she asked the question, is the Bhagavad Gita, is it taught in hell? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, we're in London, this is hell. It's always cloudy, it's always rainy, it's cold. There was one Bangladeshi sadhu, Gaudiya Vaishnav. This has happened in the 80s. What happened was, it was a remote part of Bangladesh, remote village, and some of his students saw a Western disciple looking for some holy place related to the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So they said, please, you must meet our Guru Maharaj. Oh, yes, yes. So there was a meeting, and as soon as the guru saw this Western devotee in dhoti and tilak, he said, so it is true. The teachings of Lord Chaitanya have reached the West. He kept repeating, looking at the Western Vaishnav incredulously, so it is true. He said, tell me about the man who has done this. And so he began to tell about Srila Prabhupada's story, how he left in 65 such a humble way and came to the West. And with tears in his eyes, he was listening. So it is true. There's just one other thing. Sudha Maharaj, there's one anecdote and a story. Sudha Maharaj said that Prabhupada told him, he said, when I'm gone, listen for me. So I ask you to listen to for Srila Prabhupada. How is he directing you? And see how you can then enhance your sadhana. I've been meeting lots of guests who come regularly, and I ask them, and sometimes they don't have their own japa mala. So if you come to our mandir and you don't happen to have japa mala, I ask you, please, by this weekend, when the gift shop's open and you come for our Sunday festivities, please think about getting your own japa mala at the gift shop. And any one of these devotees can instruct you how to chant. This is one way you can enhance your sadhana for Srila Prabhupada. And you can take that beautiful meditation home. You can take it on your lunch hour, and you'll find it a very enlivening practice. There's just one other thing. This is the end of my Vyaspuj homage from this year for the prison ministry. And just a paragraph, I'd like to read it. This was 1976 in Melbourne. We just saw Prabhupada land in Melbourne in 74. But one girl asked Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, would you please explain why Krishna consciousness hadn't come west until now? Why didn't it come earlier? Srila Prabhupada, because you were not born. After your birth, we have come here to take you back home, back to Godhead. Now, take the opportunity. Come with us. We were waiting for your birth. Because you were not born, come with us. We were waiting for you. Srila Prabhupada, you have absolutely captured us with your tenderness. We are inmates of your ISKCON. We were desperate, blind and alone, but as the 20,000 kings who were captured and imprisoned by Jarasandha were rescued by Krishna, as the 16,000 princesses imprisoned by Balmasura were rescued by the hero of their hearts, we have all been saved by grace, His divine grace. Mahapatita Pavanadev Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Many, many thanks, Chandrasekhar Ji, for this most enlightening and very wonderful offering. I now request Her Grace Sumati Mataji, please. If you like to sit, we'll just pass on the mic.
My dear Srila Prabhupada, it is only by your causeless mercy that I am here today, and your disappearance day is both a sad day and a happy day. We're sad because you are no longer physically present with us, but because of you, bhakti yoga continues to spread all over the world every day. And your presence is felt by anyone who is chanting Hare Krishna, who is reading your books. I cannot believe my good fortune to have been blessed with your association in my life. I cannot thank you enough for saving my life, for teaching me what is the actual purpose of life, and how to live in such a way to fulfill that purpose. Those of us who grew up in the West before you came, we did not know of Krishna or Lord Chaitanya. We did not know how to cook and eat properly, how to dress nicely, or even how to clean properly. You patiently and lovingly taught us everything. Your life of devotional service was and still is the manifestation of the love in your heart for your Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur, and for Lord Krishna. You loved Lord Krishna even as a young child, insisting on observing Lord Jagannath's Rath Yatra celebration, pulling your little cart through your Calcutta neighborhood, chanting and distributing prasadam. Krishna arranged all aspects of your life to prepare you for your mission of spreading the glories of the Lord all over this planet Earth. From your father, Gaur Mohan Day, you learned devotion to the Lord and devotional arts such as playing the mridanga. You studied English in school. You entered grihastha life, had dealings in the business and scientific communities, all to prepare you to effectively preach to all classes of men, women, and children. Because of your purity, you were able to immediately understand that Bhakti Saranta Saraswati Thakur was a pure devotee of Radha and Krishna, and you were able to take his teachings and instructions seriously. And because of that, we are all sitting here today. And all over the world, millions of devotees are gathered in ISKCON temples, preaching centers, and homes to honor you. For you have inspired us to live our lives for the pleasure of the Lord, instead of pursuing our selfish desires. I will never be able to repay you, my debt to you, but I earnestly pray that someday, in some lifetime, I may be able to please you with some meaningful service. Your insignificant servant, Sumati Dasi.
Thank you very much, Sumati Mataji. We deeply appreciate your coming here and joining us today in this wonderful festival. Next to you, there is Her Grace Nartaki Mataji, and all of us deeply, deeply appreciate Mataji's great service at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital and also being so loving mother for all of us here. So, a few words. If you don't mind, I speak a little bit in German. Ich möchte. Können Sie ein wenig Deutsch sprechen? Grüß Sie.
Hare Krishna. Namo Vishnubhadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Smar Bhakti Vedanta Swamniti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pichayane Nivishesha Shunya Bhari Pascha Charya Shatayane. Actually, the only way we can overcome the pain for being separated from Srila Prabhupada is by glorifying him and remembering his activities while he was here on with us. Of course, he is still with us, but it becomes very vivid, the meditation on Srila Prabhupada discussing his activities here. So I just wanted to, wanting to remember how Srila Prabhupada had an unstinting desire to let Krishna be known all over the world and open centers everywhere. For this he wrote many his wonderful You Ever Well Wisher letters. Through those letters he accomplished so many things. He let his disciples know of his vision and desires for spreading Krishna consciousness. He sent through these letters he called for different devotees and send them to different countries to guide them and guide them at every step that they would take. And by these letters also, he would reach out to them and give a philosophical basis to all their activities, and thereby give the work that they were doing utmost significance and inspire them by that. He would also express his gratitudes in these letters and appreciation for their efforts to help him and for outstanding services they had done. Also, he would monitor and almost in every letter for these pioneers that went like alone or in pairs to some countries, he would always ask, monitor their spiritual progress by ensuring that they would follow the regulative principles and chant. He would also teach his disciples emotions like love and compassion. He would also teach material skills they needed for their service. Sometimes he would teach something, some accounting, managing, writing. He would give advice as for acquisition of land and buildings. He would teach also basic psychology. And in his letters to his GVCs, he would lay down principles and laws for the society. And in many letters, he would solve problems, personal or interpersonal, or in connection with the service, some problems that would come up in connection with services. And he also gave legal advice. Srila Prabhupada wanted Sudama Prabhu in Los Angeles to go to Japan to open up a center along with Bali Madan. Now, Sudama was in Los Angeles and Bali Madan was in New York. So Bali Madan got to know about this, and after phoning, he agreed and got ready to go to LA to meet Sudama and also Srila Prabhupada. From there, they set off together to Japan. So in Japan, they arrived in Tokyo. And and Bali Madan got a letter in which Prabhupada explains his desire and vision. In 1967, on my way from India to America, I stopped on one day in Tokyo to find out the prospect of opening a branch there. I saw the Japanese people are oriental men and in many ways similar to Indian people. So what I have desired in 1967, you have fulfilled in 1969. I thank you from the core of my heart. Actually, Prabhupada said that he took just one day to test and see whether there was a possibility to open up a branch, because Prabhupada said once that by taking one grain of rice, one can test if it is done, then one will know that the whole pot of rice will be done. So just by seeing one person or just observing shortly the activities of these people, you know, like that, he was able to tell whether this was a good prospect. So Bali Madan and Sudama were in Tokyo, and at first they went to the Ramakrishna Mission. But actually, they were thinking that they could live there and then venture out and preach. But they were disappointed and found out that the leader was non-vegetarian. So they had to leave. And places that they were looking for rent, the rents were exuberant. So they had to find a way to another place. So they were thinking of Kyoto. They had heard of Kyoto to be a place where there's a lot of Buddhist monasteries, but it was a little ways away and not such a big city. So they got an apartment there, and Sudama Prabhu was married to Chintamani. So then they called for her after they got actually finally a place to stay. And then they started to have love feasts like in the West. And so then the preaching actually took off a little bit. But I think Sudama, he was more adept in languages. He was he picked up Japanese very quickly, while Bali Madan was not so good at that and found it a little difficult to communicate. So and Sudama, he took up one job as a English teacher, in Osaka. I remember all these places now because we were in Los Angeles distributing books, and in LAX, and we had a lot of Japanese tours coming through, and we picked up a little bit Japanese also. I'll tell a little bit about that later. Prabhupada, so for Bali Madan, it was a little more difficult to preach there. But then he was also thinking, you know, here in Kyoto it may be a little more easy, but and there were also Western tourists there. And actually at one point he met also some people from Australia, and he was already thinking, you know, maybe I want to go there and preach there also. So he took the address from these people, and that would be a place to go to start from. So now they're meditating to go back to Tokyo. And Prabhupada replied, "So I take your proposal as God sent. If possible, open a center in the busy section of Tokyo. My Guru Maharaj was always enthusiastic to open centers in the busy section of a city. Our centers are not secluded ashram for so-called peaceful meditation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is to awaken the sleeping humanity which are under the spell of Maya." So they went back to Tokyo, and Prabhupada, at that round about the same time, he sent an airgram to Burijan in New York to go to Japan. It was a very short letter, and actually Burijan was quite startled. He was a young American, college graduate, university graduate, and he had never been out of America except maybe for Mexico, some nearby country, but he'd never been out of America, so he was quite startled to go to Tokyo. That was like, he had to kind of gasp for air at first, but then he was thinking, I have no money. I'm going to go to Tokyo. So then he went to his parents. Then finally he decided, I'll go to my parents and ask them for some money. So the parents had collected money for his wedding, and after his urgent request, they couldn't help but give it to him. So he took the money and he gave it to the temple president, and the temple president was quite happy, he said, and because he was saying, so you will buy your airfare and the rest will give to the BBT. He didn't expect that, of course. I had actually a similar experience, you know, with Bali Madan when he came to Australia later on, you know, like it's coming soon. He preached to me and I joined Krishna consciousness, and he took me straight to the bank. Oh, that is what Burijan also said. The temple president took him to the bank and made sure all the money that was in the bank would come to the temple. And the same way, Bali Madan also brought me. He said, "This is how you surrender to Krishna. Give all your money. You give all your money to the temple, to Krishna, and then you surrender." And I didn't have any objection. And I think the money went to bring Prabhupada first time to Australia. So it was wonderfully used. So my money was going to, not for wedding, but it was going to, I was going to go back to Germany, and that was good that I didn't also, because my parents would have very much objected. I was from a priest family of priests in Germany, Christian priests, and they were not happy that I was a devotee. Anyway, so Bali Madan got, so he went, he was thinking of going to Australia. But in the meanwhile, Prabhupada sent Virajan to Japan and joined Sudaman Bali Madan. And when they're preaching in Japan was quite successful. We had some nice devotees in Japan some years later. And actually, I remember in Los Angeles, we called for some of the Japanese devotees to come to Los Angeles to help us with the book distribution. Because, as I said, you know, we had a lot of Japanese tourists. You know, like in Los Angeles, we had regularly tours of honeymooners coming to go to Disneyland. So they would we would stop them in the airport, and at that time, we already had Japanese books. And these Japanese devotees that would help us to learn a few lines of Japanese and to give the books to them. And so that was very nice. That was the fruits of their initial austerities in Japan. And then Prabhupada said, wrote another letter. So when Virajan came, then Bali Madan felt that he could go now to Australia. So then Prabhupada is writing, "It is encouraging that you propose to go to Australia. Chidanand tried to get a visa, but was not successful. So by the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we will not leave any place without Krishna consciousness." And then he was talking about how, you know, you're a young, intelligent man. You can see the necessity of this Krishna consciousness to be spread, because people are so degraded now. They even, so-called civilized men, they go to naked dance shows. He said even the aborigines cover their private parts and with either skin or leaves. Indian, and then he was going on and he was saying meaning the Indians here in India, they have not shown. They are not at this time inclined for Krishna consciousness. So I have handed over this Krishna consciousness into the hands of the Americans. And he said, now there is sufficient literature and our philosophy is super excellent. So he encouraged Bali Madan to distribute a lot of literatures and to write him fortnightly about it, you know. And he was also saying that they should go to colleges, etc. And I explained that at another time, that he particularly wanted them to teach from the book Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, use that as a book for their curriculum, because it has all the teachings to his main disciples, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's main disciples, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Roy, etc. So now they went to Australia, and first they came to, I think they were at King's Cross first, and then they went to Bondi Junction. And from there they used to go to a place called the Domain for preaching. And King's Cross was the nightlife kind of a scene. As they were preaching, one person came with his girlfriend, Christopher Warden, and his English girlfriend, who became later Vaibhavi, and he became Charu. And there, he was also a college graduate. I don't know in which subject, but he was a very good manager and very interested in the philosophy. Very good preacher also. And actually, Upendra came before him. But then when Charu Prabhu came, they actively started the preaching in the universities and became very successful. So then Prabhupada replied to Bali Madan, "I'm so pleased to learn that your university meetings were very successful. It is very maddening to learn that hundreds were singing and dancing. I take it for granted that you are one of the selected devotees of Lord Chaitanya, and therefore from within your heart he has inspired you to go to such a distant place just to satisfy Krishna. This is a great transcendental adventure." This comes from Prabhupada. It's not Kurma's titling. He took it from Prabhupada. "It is a great transcendental adventure. Krishna will certainly help you. The only thing we require for this purpose is to remain in our spiritual strength by chanting regularly and following the rules and regulations. I'm sure you're already strict on this point, and still it is my duty to remind it for your steady strength." And then there came all of a sudden disturbing news that Prabhupada had left Los Angeles and all of a sudden had to leave Los Angeles to go to Japan. And from there he went to Bombay because there was some, what he called, conspiracy amongst some of the older devotees. They took Prabhupada's name off the letterheads. They did not the name, but they took the Acharya, founder Acharya, you know, of ISKCON off, and they just called him the founder of ISKCON. And different things were there that that Prabhupada was urged to leave the country, and they restricted his movement and in many ways gave Prabhupada trouble, and Prabhupada was very, very disturbed. So so then he went to Bombay for, so he was in Japan, but before leaving Japan, before Bali Madan was leaving Japan, I had written to Srila Prabhupada, who was then in Bombay. I mentioned my hope to develop some program in Hong Kong and then in Singapore. His words were, and he said, Srila Prabhupada's words were giving so much inspiration. He called it his lifeblood. And Srila Prabhupada said, "I have noted the content with great encouragement. It is for your daring and active nature that I have chosen you to represent me as a GBC man in the Southeast Asia zone. And I can see from your latest words that my choice has not been wrong. I think that Singapore and Hong Kong are English-speaking places, so that you will not find much difficulty there. So just open two nice centers immediately, and that will link up our chain of centers around the world. The basic principle of our actions should be that they are all meant for, you know, that they are all meant for pleasing Krishna." Meaning the divas, they're all meant for pleasing Krishna. I was thinking that was a very wonderful way of saying it.
Thank you very much, Mataji.
Yeah.
We appreciate very nice offering.
Yeah, this is the last year. This is the last. I just wanted to show how Prabhupada was guiding the devotees in their preaching work, and encouraged them to do the groundwork, and then later on when things were set up, he would come, he offered to come. And so he came also. After Bombay, he came back to, after the Cross Maidan Festival in Bombay, he came then to Australia.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Deeply appreciate your long offering. May I request now Braj Bihari Prabhuji, who's with us, who first sang the beautiful Guru Ashtaka, to give his offering.
Om Agyana Timrandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki. In 1972, Srila Prabhupada was in the Philippines. He was just about to give a talk at can you hold this? Thank you. At the Hotel Intercontinental, And while he was waiting, he was playing with a little toy flag. And the flag broke. And Prabhupada chuckled a little bit as if to say, you know, just see the nature of the material world. Then he turned to a devotee and he said the following. Listen to this. He said, "My desire is that all living beings in the universe go back to Godhead. You please help me with this desire." So also in 1966, when Prabhupada was in New York, he had some business cards made, calling cards. And so there was, how many temples were there in 1966? One.
There was two.
There was one. But on the card it said, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, founder Acharya of ISKCON, and then it said, with centers all over the world. So, Prabhupada was a visionary, and he was a planner. He just didn't have things happen haphazardly. He actually made plans to fulfill his mission. And in order to, so how was he going to fulfill this incredible desire? He had a desire that Jaya Srila Prabhupada. He had a desire that every living entity in the universe would go back to Godhead. He had a desire that there would be centers all over the world. So how was he going to fulfill that? So his plan was ISKCON. So Srila Prabhupada has given so many gifts to us, and one of his greatest gifts is the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Now, does ISKCON have any faults? Absolutely. Every organization in the world has faults. Organizations by their very nature have faults. Prabhupada once wrote a wonderful letter where he said, to think that there is utopia anywhere in this world is Mayavadi philosophy. Is to think, because ISKCON is made of persons. Persons make mistakes. Then he said, Krishna makes mistakes. So one time Krishna is so bewildered, he's looking at Radharani, and he's so attracted to her that he starts milking a bull instead of a cow. Right? So Krishna makes mistakes. And the gopis also, the gopis are so attracted by Krishna's flute. This is all from one letter from Srila Prabhupada. He's so attracted by, the gopis are so attracted by Krishna's flute that they're running out to see Krishna. Their tops are on their bottoms, their mascara's all messed up. Everything. So, to be a person means there will be mistakes. So, ISKCON also has its faults. And then Srila Prabhupada would quote this saying, Lord, I forget who it was. One famous British politician said, "England, with all thy faults, I love thee." So then he said, we should have that attitude towards ISKCON. ISKCON, with all thy faults, I love thee. Because ISKCON is a vehicle that created and formed and nurtured by Srila Prabhupada to deliver fallen conditioned souls to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. And Prabhupada never lost sight of that as he was going through all the headaches that there are in running any organization. Srinathji Prabhu, are there headaches in running an organization?
Tremendous headaches.
Tremendous headaches, yes. It's the very nature. But Prabhupada tolerated and difficulties come with the very of delivering fallen conditioned souls. Of all of the nectar of devotion, nectar of destruction, has the most direct statements about Prabhupada's idea about ISKCON. So I'm just going to read very brief, don't worry, I won't read the whole thing, very brief statements from the next in Srila Prabhupada's purports. He says, similarly, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to give people an opportunity to associate with those who have not forgotten Krishna. So that means, now that we are all here and we have to some extent not forgotten Krishna, ISKCON is meant for all of us to give association to all of them. That's the purpose of ISKCON. This spiritual association offered by our ISKCON movement is increasing day by day. Many people from different parts of the world are joining the society to awaken their dormant Krishna consciousness. The next statement. When by good fortune one comes in contact with a pure devotee and hears from him patiently, one begins to follow the path of devotional service. Such an opportunity is offered to a person who is sincere. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is giving such an opportunity to humanity at large. Two more quick ones. If one lives in the association of devotees, there is little chance of associating with non-devotees. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is opening many centers just to invite people to live in the company of devotees and practice the regulated principles of spiritual life. And then here's my favorite one. You ready? Okay, all right. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness has been established to facilitate these six kinds of loving exchanges between devotees. That's why Prabhupada created ISKCON. So devotees can come together, reveal their minds to each other, inquire confidentially, give gifts, receive gifts, offer prasadam, take prasadam, and in this way, enjoy spiritual life. So in order to do all these things, it takes organization. Just like I went on the website for the upcoming yatra. So much organization, this room, that room, this transfer down, so much work, right? Done by some devotees who have taken on this headache as a service to all of us so that we can all go and enjoy the yatra. So to have a successful organization takes a lot of organization. And now comes what we should be doing. So we're here to glorify Srila Prabhupada. His love for us, him as a person, his mercy, and also his mission. So we should all do our little parts in Prabhupada's mission. We're all here by his mercy, and we're here by the mercy of ISKCON, because Prabhupada created ISKCON as that vehicle to get us all to come together. So creating a better and better ISKCON is dependent on each and every one of us. And someone once said, Srila Prabhupada, how will we know who's a member of ISKCON? And Prabhupada answered, oh, you'll know my devotees, he said, because they will be perfect ladies and gentlemen. So that's our first responsibility. All of us should be perfect ladies and gentlemen. And we should serve one another with great love and affection, Vaishnava Seva. And then we should go out into the world every day, and just as we're leaving the door of our house or leaving the door of the temple, we should be remembering Srila Prabhupada, and that we are going out into the world as his representative, as perfect ladies and perfect gentlemen. And in one way or another, depending on our capacity, giving other people the chance to know about Krishna. And if we do that, Srila Prabhupada will smile upon us, and our lives will be perfect. And his organization that he started with great difficulty will increase day by day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai!
Thank you very much. Raj Bihari Prabhuji, we have with us Her Grace Anand Vrindavaneshwari Mataji, a perfect lady, and my favorite god sister. She's been the principal at Vrindavan for the school, taken such loving care of the children, and now I understand she'll be leaving Vrindavan, going to Washington, D.C., am I right? And I've been asked by Praj Bihari Prabhuji to join him in Washington next time I'm in USA. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Today we went to the gateway to India with Malati, ever adventurous Malati Mataji. And while we were there, I was thinking, why am I here on such an important day? And I realized how Prabhupada is the gateway to India for me, and for actually the gateway to the spiritual world for all of us. And it reminded me of a dream a very good friend of mine had. And in that dream, she was approaching the spiritual world, and she was in front of some gates, and she couldn't enter. And then very soon she saw Prabhupada coming down the path, and Prabhupada looked at her and then told the gatekeepers, "She's with me, let her in," like that. So that's the Srila Prabhupada, whom is very dear to all of us. Since I have been in education and a teacher even before, and all my years in ISKCON, I was always very happy and always see Prabhupada as a teacher. And in fact, in Prabhupada's passport, his occupation is listed as teacher. And there are three ways I'll just share how I see Prabhupada as such an extraordinary teacher. The first way is a teacher. One way of knowing there is a very good teacher is how the students behave when the teacher is not present in the classroom, how they are able to go on with their work. And so now that Prabhupada is not here, we can see how his movement is growing and developing and strengthening and going on, and that's a testimony to his greatness as a teacher. Secondly, Prabhupada was able to make Krishna so personal and so accessible. Here's one excerpt from his lecture. "A Vaishnava, a devotee, cannot accept that this world, Jagat, is false. No! How can it be false? Suppose you enter a very beautiful garden with beautiful trees, so many nice flowers and buildings. Everything is exquisite. The owner of the garden shows you around, and you say, 'Oh, it is all mithya. It is all false.' Then how depressed he becomes, thinking, 'I brought this friend to show him the beauty of this garden. And he says it is all false.' Similarly, we don't want to depress Krishna. That is not our business." So Prabhupada as a teacher would always use very powerful, accessible examples, real life examples, helping us understand how to relate with Krishna as a person. And as a teacher also, Prabhupada was so realized that he would share in very simple ways, very deep realizations. He was able to communicate just how insignificant this world is. One time he had met this man in India. He had met one man in India, and the same man met Prabhupada again in New York City. And when he met Prabhupada, he said to him, "Oh, Swamiji, it's such a small world. I'm meeting you here again." And Prabhupada swept his hand as if sweeping away everything, and he said, "It is insignificant." And so in this way, Prabhupada would, by a few words, put into perspective our position and our relationship with Krishna and the hope that he would give us as a teacher, and how to make our way back home, back to our relationship with Krishna. And one final excerpt I'd like to read. It's a professor from Washington, D.C. who met Srila Prabhupada, and he wrote about his meeting with Prabhupada afterwards in the foreword to Hari Sari Prabhu's book about Srila Prabhupada. It's a very beautiful description of Srila Prabhupada. This Dr. Shukla, he said, Swami Prabhupada was fascinating to be with, for he had experienced life both as a householder and as an ascetic. To meet him was to be given instant access to everything he was thinking at the moment. He not only shared his meditations with you, he made you feel like a Krishna devotee. He was so appealing that you couldn't help wondering why you hadn't had the fortune of meeting him before. His assessment of our madness, greed, and dash toward absurd aims was so clear that it made even a skeptic pause and contemplate. Mani, overwhelmed by his selfless and compassionate intellect, became lifelong devotees, eager to shove back their own madness, greed, and aimlessness, and strive towards becoming virtuous men and women. Swami does not wish, as so many fake gurus and holy men do, he does not wish one to transform the life of senses into some sensuous but in fact senseless enhanced living. For the Swami, quote, matter is inferior to the spirit soul. The spirit soul is more complex and sophisticated, end quote. Thus the need for the spirited stream of Krishna consciousness, where the life and love for Krishna become one with the desire for meaningful living, and where worldly success and joy become meaningless. Through his teachings, writing, and life as he lived, Swami Prabhupada made us see that man ought not to be merely a blank slate, passively open to events, but a mind that constantly seeks the spiritual meaning in everything it encounters. In Swami Prabhupada, the bhakti's tendency of transcending ordinary passions into a higher dimension for the divine is prominent. It brought an inner glow and significance to his personality. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Thank you, Anandamani Shri Mataji. We would like to now request Sinaji Prabhu to make his offering. Thank you.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Putri Srila Bhakti Vedanta Swami ki namine. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharam Nirubhisheshwar Nivadita. So, I would like to break up my offering into two parts. One is some comments about what my predecessor speakers have spoken. And the other is, I would like to read out from Giriraj Swami's offering which he has made. So, firstly, there was a mention about Haridas Prabhuji. Haridas Prabhuji was the first devotee I met at Juhu Temple in 1974. The temple was just a shack, like a small tin top hut. And he was, as correctly stated, was a recovering thief. So he was a pickpocket. He would thieve anything. So I asked him, how is it that you were a thief and you are here now and not in jail? So he said it was by mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So I said, how did that mercy come? So he said, I saw a beautiful gold watch on Srila Prabhupada's hands. That is how the mercy came. And he wanted to steal that gold watch. And he was planning for days how to get that gold watch. These are his words to me, 1974. So then, he planned to get over the wall, and at night, like a regular professional thief, he would go into Prabhupada's quarters, which was, there was no big Prabhupada tower and, you know, other premises. We had a very small flat at the back for Prabhupada. So he got into that building and he somehow managed to get very close to Srila Prabhupada's hand. And before he could remove the watch, Srila Prabhupada caught his hand. And Srila Prabhupada asked him, "What do you want?" And he was brave enough, he says, to tell him that, "I am a thief, I want your watch." And Prabhupada observed from the way he spoke Hindi, it was, "Tumko kya chahiye? Mere ko aapka ghadi dena chahiye aapko. To aap mere ko ghadi de do," means you give me your watch. So Prabhupada said that, "No, I will not give you a watch, but I'll give you a bigger thing." He said, "Bigger than your watch? It's much costlier than the watch." So he was interested in something more valuable than Prabhupada's gold watch. And he asked, "What is so valuable more?" This is the middle of the night, and Prabhupada just woke up from sleep. And still he could have this perfect, you know, teaching. At any time he would teach. As you rightly said, he was a great teacher. And this is told to me by Haridas Prabhu himself. So Prabhupada said, "I'll give you something which is the gold mine and the creator of the gold mine. Why you want a small piece of gold? Take the whole gold mine." And that is how he was introduced to Krishna consciousness. And when he heard that, and Prabhupada said, "Now don't go away without eating prasadam." In the middle of the night he got prasad. So much so, because he was a, his mother was also there. His father had died. His father was murdered in that Bangladesh war. And they were refugees in India and they had nothing else. So naturally became a thief, he said. So then he told his mother that, "I have now got this Guru Maharaj who can give me a gold mine. You join." And his mother became Prabhupada's cook in Mayapur. So those who know about Prabhupada's cook in Mayapur, and she became his cook. So this is a continuation of your story.
Devotees ask him, "What your name is?" He said, "I don't know. Over here where I pick pockets, they call me Pacha. Over here where I do burglaries, they call me something else."
That's right. Actually, he didn't know his name. I asked him, "What was your name before?" He said, "I really don't know. Because I am like an orphan. And now we are talking in an orphanage." This was Lady Northcote in the orphanage. So it's like this. So now the second part. About six or seven of us, I noticed there is my dear godbrother, Mahaprabhuji, who I hope after this will give a few words of his wonderful offering. So, about six or seven of us used to go to Giriraj Maharaj and had accepted Giriraj Maharaj as our Shiksha Guru. And every Sunday, he would spend, Mahaprabhuji, about 4-5 hours, at least 5 hours, 6 hours, training us. Every Sunday. So here it goes. Giriraj Maharaj. "We have gathered at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada of his disappearance festival. When we were with his divine grace in Surat on his good path, Prabhupada remarked that on the absent platform there is no difference between the appearance and disappearance of the spiritual master. Just like the sunrise and the sunset, both are beautiful. Srila Prabhupada always glorified Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, and he instructed everyone to take shelter of Krishna. Many people who came in touch with Srila Prabhupada were struck by this fact. George Harrison, for example, said that so many swamis and gurus tell their followers to surrender to them. George Harrison, for example, said that so many swamis and gurus tell their followers to surrender to them. But Prabhupada was the only one who said, surrender to Krishna, don't surrender to me. You must surrender to Krishna. Once a new devotee approached Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, I can trust you, but I can surrender to you, but I can't trust your representatives. I can't surrender to them because I fear they will cheat me. And Srila Prabhupada replied, don't surrender to me either. I may also cheat you. Now go and surrender to Krishna. It's a long article, so I'll just read the highlights since we don't have too much time. Then Giriraj Swami was talking with Satswarup Maharaj, and Satswarup Maharaj told this nice story. The realization which he had, it relates to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Because every one of us who spoke before has emphasized about Prabhupada's infinite mercy. How shall I take shelter of anyone who is more merciful? This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. I think it is Barha Pidam Nataro Vapavu Varnako Varnivaram Vipradvasa Kanaka Kapisham Vaijayanti Mala Rindar Venu Svatpara Sudaya Parenti Gopa Vrindai Nandavarnyam Sadaparanam Pavishati. So anyway, so in Srimad Bhagavatam, how did Vyasadeva get Shukdev, who was his son, to become a Goswami? So this shlok, in fact two shloks, made him a pure devotee. And he came back and started listening to the whole Bhagavatam. Sometimes it happens that devotees from ISKCON meet saintly persons outside of ISKCON. This is very important. Giriraj Maharaj saying, sometimes it happens that devotees from ISKCON meet saintly persons outside of ISKCON. So one year, Satswarup Maharaj went to Jagannath Puri during the holy month of Purushottama to spend some time with one such sadhu who is outside ISKCON. But while there, Satswarup Maharaj felt uncomfortable. He didn't feel at home in that association. He felt that Srila Prabhupada created ISKCON to be his home, and that we could feel at home only in ISKCON, nowhere else. Then he went a step further. He imagined a time when he would leave his body, means when Satswarup Maharaj would leave his body, a reference to another earlier speaker, and come to the precincts of Krishna Lok. Means Satswarup Maharaj imagined that when he left his body and he came to the border of Golok Vrindavan, Krishna Lok, and the gatekeeper would ask him, who are you? He suddenly became fearful, thinking that he was taking a gamble by turning himself into a Shiksha disciple of that sadhu rather than remaining an exclusive disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't sure exactly what his relationship with that sadhu was or how that sadhu would relate to Krishna on his behalf. Then he imagined a different sequence. In this one, when the gatekeeper asked, who are you? He would reply, I am Satswarup Das, a disciple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Then he imagined the gatekeeper going to Srila Prabhupada and asking him, Satswarup has come to the gate. What should we do? And he imagined that Srila Prabhupada would say, Satswarup, my Satswarup, call him immediately. To me, this provides a striking picture of Srila Prabhupada and his mercy. And it serves to answer the rhetorical question, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than Srila Prabhupada? For us, There is no one more merciful. There is no need to take shelter of anyone else. And there is no gain if we leave Srila Prabhupada to take shelter of anyone else. 2 years ago, I had the good fortune to meet Narayani Dasi in Houston during a japa workshop. I hadn't seen her for many years. And then at a japa workshop here, I met her. And she told me a story that she had heard. Srila Prabhupada was giving a talk in which he had said that in order to go back home, back to Godhead, one must be 100% pure, 100% free of material desires and attachments. When Srila Prabhupada saw that the devotees were discouraged, he said, "All right, 90%. Still, the devotees looked dejected. Then he said, "All right, 80%. Still they were crestfallen. Then Prabhupada said, "All right, 75%, but no less." After the talk, Srila Prabhupada commented, "If you just hold on to my lotus feet, I will take you back to Godhead. I have the key to the back door." Prabhupada said, "I have the key to the back door." Of course, we must try sincerely and seriously. Giridhar Maharaj is saying, of course, we must try sincerely and seriously, by all means, with all our energy and resources, to become pure devotees. In our japa retreat, we emphasize chanting with attention, without offense. This is very important. In our japa retreats, we emphasize chanting with attention and without offense. We encourage devotees to pronounce each syllable distinctly and hear each syllable attentively. To chant inattentively is an offense. So I thought of my initiation letter. Giridhar Swami is thinking. So I thought of my initiation letter Srila Prabhupada sent to me in Boston from Los Angeles, in which he told me to avoid the 10 offenses. And I thought, oh my God, that was practically the first instruction I got from Srila Prabhupada. The instruction I got when I got initiated. And now, 36 years later, I still haven't been able to follow it, which is another offense, to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So I thought, I'm just drowning in offenses. And then I thought, I better reread that letter Prabhupada wrote to me 36 years ago. So I pulled out the letter with whatever strength was left in me. I reread it and there was instruction. You should avoid the 10 offenses as far as possible. Srila Prabhupada was so merciful. He knew that I couldn't avoid them completely. So he saved me from the offense of disobeying his order by writing as far as possible. So that is our qualification. According to Srila Prabhupada, and this is our hope, we shall try to follow his instructions strictly. We will just hold on to his lotus feet. He will do the rest. He will take us home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So this was an offering made by Srila Giriraj Swami. And since Giriraj Swami is our Shiksha Guru, and our system is Ivam Parampara Praptam, we follow in the footsteps of these great devotees. We still have 10 minutes time. Is it alright? And since you are organizing, and I cannot leave today without requesting my dear friend with whom I hope to go home back to Godhead, Mahaprabhuji. Mahaprabhuji and I have been together through 22 wars, fights in courts, to get this temple up. Hare Krishna.
I have counted. Hare Krishna. I will take very less time, 1/4 time of what Naji took. One fourth only. What I am requesting, I will be speaking two parts only. One part, how Srila Prabhupada, if we want to glorify him, you see, we must follow his instructions. Because I was not that fortunate as he was. He could drive Srila Prabhupada ji to Bombay Central Station and he could have his darshan and done some seva. But his instruction, what Srila Prabhupada has given, first part, what he has given to the world and what we should do. Previously, Krishna was in the hands of these pandas, sadhus, in the temples. Lakshmi Narayan, they were worshipping. But Krishna, Srila Prabhupada has given us Krishna and Radharani. Srila Prabhupada has given Jagannath, having Rath Yatra throughout the world. And Srila Prabhupada has given us something very exceptional, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, if you go to New York, in Broadway, there is a theater known Broadway Theater. And Broadway Theater is such a big theater that even the helicopter land in the theater. Air conditioned theater. It's a unique. It costs about $75 to $100 to go to get one entry to see one drama. I have gone there and seen. But I want to tell you what Srila Prabhupada has given us. See, Ramchandra ji came and he has done some leela, and we understand all avatar came. They have come to Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinasaya Duruskratam, and they have shown us how to kill and how to establish religion. But what Srila Prabhupada has given in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the Broadway theater, you can go and become an actor in the theater. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us to join. Not, he is not a god. He became devotee. And he is asking us, all of us, to join his movement. And nobody was knowing this. Srila Prabhupada has given this to us. He is so merciful. And if we follow his instructions, Srila Prabhupada's instruction, and very simple instruction, though Krishna has told us in Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me and follow these instructions, but very simple instruction Srila Prabhupada has given to us through our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The second part, I would like to say that we have been misguided throughout our life. India is positively religious thing, but our religion is dharma artha kama moksha. These pandas have fooled us throughout our life. So what we were doing, okay, we have been taught higher education we should give to our children. Actually, they will go to hell if they don't know what is a spiritual life. They will go quicker to hell. So higher education, big money, power and position, this will take us to hell. Because spiritual subject we can never understand by material things. And everybody is thinking up till now that by having material thing we can understand this spiritual subject. Srila Prabhupada has given us in a very simple way. Simple way, the spiritual subject ABCD. Association of devotees, reading books written by Srila Prabhupada ji, and chanting the holy name of Lord, and lastly, eating prasad. What's the use? This is all in Bhagavad Gita. Eating prasad, Yagya Shrestha Sanod 313, 1868, as having association of devotee. Hey Arjun, jo mere baare mein doosron se charcha karte hain, usse priya is duniya mein koi nahi hai. 9:14, Satatam Kirtam, chanting the holy name of Lord, and reading Srila Prabhupada books, not any book. By reading books, you know, many people have read many books. How many people have become devotee throughout the world? Even Vivekananda has gone to Chicago. So what? Big lecture. Has he made one devotee? Srila Prabhupada made millions of people around the world devotee because he was teaching pure love of God. So we have to understand Srila Prabhupada has given us something, but we have to now give it to other people, and for that purpose we require little determination. Determination like Dhruva Maharaj, or like that bird who was trying to empty the ocean. Lord is ready and willing to us. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, Nagar Pratigram, Sarvatra Prachar Hoye Naam, Maranam, is going to spread over throughout the world. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, just see, I'm making you Nimatra Matra. Just see, they are already dead. So everybody is going to be devotee. Now the question is only, don't waste time. Whatever is being destined, you are going to get it. Do your duty, balance your life, and give your quality time to God. If we can balance this way our life, this is our Prabhupada message. Srila Prabhupada has given us, and that is the purpose. You know, we are celebrating. He will be very happy by that some people are ready and willing to follow. And now, throughout the world, in India, young people are taking part, and now spreading over throughout the world also. Srila Prabhupada ki! He is forcing me, and I never thought, usually, he always says, now I have got something else actually, but I was thinking, I must not speak more. I tell you something very important again, which I was missing. This was our extempore up till now. Now I can speak something. See, when Lord Srila Prabhupada is so simple, so kind, just see, he has shown us very, if we are taking one step towards Lord, Lord is ready and willing to take a step towards us. But one step, you know, Bali Maharaj, one step, Baman Avatar, before Bali Maharaj, in one step, you know, our one step is only 1 feet or 1.5 feet. But one step, he has measured the total world. So why we should be miser? He's promising, Kunte Pratijani Nama Bhakta Pranasti. And just see the, what has happened. See the, one avatar. Lord has taken one avatar, all full avatar, just to save his devotee. Just to save Prahlad. Lord appear as Narsingadev. How kind he is. We can understand Srila Prabhupada has given us this message to us, that how we must understand this thing. Is Kunte Pratijaniyena Bhakta Pranastimi. He will take care of us. We should not worry that, you know, we are very much worried. Oh, I have to take Kunte. You see, Ahankar Bhumulatma Karta Methi. I'm thinking, I don't take care of my child or my family or my society. What will happen to them? They will be more happy. But foolishly, total society today, my son, my family, my relation, my people, my village people, my country people, but we have forgotten Krishna. If all these zero have no value, but if we take Krishna, he will take care. Ishvara Sarva Bhutana Hridayasya Ajanta Shruti. He is sitting in our heart. He knows our desire. And he knows it very well, that if we will serve Krishna, follow his instruction, he will take care of us. So it is our duty. We follow instruction of Srila. But last part I may tell you, whatever we may study, we may come to temple, we may do the yag, tap, dan, so many things we may do. actually speaking, Kaljuga, it is not recommended. In Bhagavatam, it is said, Satyuga, it was meditation, Trita Yuga, it was yag, Dwapur, it was temple worship. Kaljuga, it is not even recommended to go to temple. Then somebody asked me a question, then why you have Prabhupada made so many temples? To teach you how to make your home temple. So this is that training center. Prabhupada has opened this temple like a university, giving us training. So we must get trained here and then we go out and preach this message to everybody throughout the world. And I only request that we must, if we follow this instruction, all other, everything, Lord will take care. Everything will be taken care. Srila Prabhupada is there. And we have seen whoever has taken little interest in this side. Means it's, I have seen it in my life. I have seen my friend Naji Das and many people that how we have come out of that thing. So please, we request, follow Srila Prabhupada's instruction and give this message to everybody, and Srila Prabhupada will be very, very happy, because that is the way we can pay our homage to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And last I would like to say that his name was not on the list. But Krishna within my heart, what is that? 15.15. Sarvasya chaham radhi sannivishto smutir jnana ponacha vedesya sarve am eva vedyo vedanta krutved. So I felt that the best speaker would be the last speaker. And it is always like that. And believe me, this is how he talks in the high court also to the judge. Furthermore, it was our Mahaprabhu Das, when it was not a Mahaprabhu, he was R.K. Maheshwari, advocate, junior advocate. Sorry, but I must tell the truth. He was very young. He had only black hair at that time. And he was defending the devotees who had a false murder charge at Juhu. And they were all locked up. And Mahaprabhu got them out of jail, not only with honor and distinction. And Mahaprabhu made the judge also a devotee. Because Mahaprabhu told the judge, why are you telling me to stop? The mic is mine, I am the master of ceremonies. He's telling me now. I allowed you more time, so you have to allow me time. So Mahaprabhu told, do you want to hear? So you can see. I am under the instructions of devotees. So Mahaprabhu told the judge, please read this back to Godhead. And I have seen with my own eyes, because I used to take lunch for the devotees and Mahaprabhu in Dabba, because they would not eat any other this so-called quote-unquote food. So my wife used to cook and I used to take the Dabba tiffin. So Mahaprabhu used to tell this judge that you should only eat prasad. So this judge was saying, I must eat what? Mahaprabhu at that time told the judge, you should only eat prasad. And then quietly told me, that way his brain will improve. That is why he was telling me not to speak too much. Because I am disclosing all his secrets. How he wins every case. And he cannot lose. Because what he does, even now, before the case starts, Parampurush, where is Parampurush? Parampurush? Where is he? Barek, yeah? He first sends Parampurush with a lot of prasad so that every person in the whole court eats prasad. From the peon to the judge. So that nobody is spared. And after feeding all of them with nice prasad from Chapati temple, Mahaprabhu then regally enters the courtroom with his beautiful black coat, white shining trouser, and he gets up and then he fires away. The judge, having had prasad, has no choice but to listen to him and agree with him. These are the glories of Srila Mahaprabhu ki, Mahaprabhu Das ki jai. So, we'll have now, yes, I'm supposed to tell you what we have now. Yes, please all stand up. Surprisingly, we are strictly on time, 9:15. Pushpanjali, Braj Bihari Prabhuji, are you ready? We are giving you a lot of... And Aarti will be led by His Grace Chandrasekhar Ji. After that, there will be Kirtan by His Grace Rishikesh Anand Prabhuji and Prasadam. So this is the program. Thank you very much. Hari Bol.